Good evening. I'm Kevin Baird with a KUAC News Minor update. Tonight, the Fairbanks City Council will introduce an ordinance that would allow for a stipend for families who have had their well water contaminated by perfluorinated compounds. Perfluorinated compounds are found in aqueous film forming foam, which was used in firefighting training exercises at the Regional Fire Training Center at 1740 30th Avenue from 1984 to 2004. Since announcing a couple dozen properties had been affected by the contamination, the city has provided clean water at no cost. And this summer, work crews began to connect these residences to the city's water system. The connection work is on track to be complete by the end of the month. In May, John Mancuso implored the council to waive his water utility bill when his home was connected to the water utility. Mancuso wrote a letter to the council, and he said, quote, "We believe the city needs to provide water to us free of charge for as long as our family owns this house. This compensation would be little to our family considering we have been drinking, bathing, and washing in the polluted water for decades with unknown contamination and health effects. The ordinance, which will be up for a first reading, would appropriate $100,000 toward a stipend to help affected families pay their water bills. The ordinance would sunset in 2 years." Mayor Jim Matherly said, quote, "Anything we do is going to be a strain on the budget, but it's the right thing to do, so we need to do it." Two Alaska tribes have submitted applications to place lands into trust with the federal government. Fort Yukon wants to put just under 2 acres, where a tribal government office and cultural center are located, into federal trust. The village of Ninilchik has requested placing the location of its transit facility, a 2.5-acre lot, into trust. The land is located within the Kenai Peninsula Borough. The Bureau of Indian Affairs is taking public comment on the applications until October 5th. An Alaska Department of Law release says the state is taking public input on impacts, including on local tax rolls, jurisdictional problems, and potential land use conflicts, until September 22nd. The requests are the latest of several filed since December 2014, when the Obama administration revised the law to give Alaska tribes, previously excepted from the option, to place lands into trust. According to the American Indian Law Journal, trust status facilitates tribal land restoration and economic development and insulates tribes from state and local jurisdiction and taxation. A worldwide assembly of Episcopal bishops will come to Alaska for the first time this month for a series of meetings and blessings in Fairbanks and interior villages. Mark Latim, the Bishop of Alaska, said in an interview this week that he's been inviting his fellow bishops to Alaska since he became a bishop 7 years ago. He learned last week that the House of Bishops had chosen Fairbanks for its fall 2017 meeting. About 128 bishops and about 78 of their spouses are scheduled to be in Alaska on September 21st through the 26th for one of the body's twice-yearly meetings. The assembly will include meetings, services, and trips to 8 interior bush communities. Latim said the bishops are expected to take up letters to the church on subjects such as racial reconciliation and care of the earth. A letter to the church is a kind of non-binding recommendation from the church's religious leaders. The Episcopal Church is an American Christian church that split off from the Church of England after the American Revolution. It remains part of the larger Anglican Communion. In Fairbanks, the House of Bishops meeting will be followed by a meeting of church leaders within the state from September 28th to the 30th. The uncle of 5 girls who died in a fire in Butte last week says they were all members of the same family. Alaska Public Media reports that Armando Astorga identifies the fire victims as 3-year-old Jalen Flores, 6-year-old Sophia Flores, 7-year-old Liliana Flores, 8-year-old Nevaeh Flores, and 12-year-old Alexis Quackenbush. Astorga lives in Los Angeles and spoke by phone while in Seattle about to board a plane to Anchorage.
"They were always together. They were always happy. You know, they were sisters. And I mean, they were a family. That's all they had was each other."
Astorga says his brother, the girl's father, had just started a new job as a school bus driver and was going through training early Thursday when his wife called. She had left them home alone for just a few minutes and returned to find the trailer ablaze. Astorga says the family has been trying to get their landlord to repair the place, including work on both a gas leak and an electrical issue. He says the landlord, who is a relatively new owner of the property, had been making the repairs. The fire remains under investigation. Neither the Alaska State Troopers nor the State Fire Marshal's office have said anything about its cause. For more on tonight's stories and others, go to newsminer.com or kuac.org. I'm Kevin Baird.